Good evening. Welcome to Digging Deeper here on the Living Faith Television Network. I'm Dr. Don R. Zampona, the pastor at Green Valley Baptist Church. And tonight we're going to be talking about how precious the promise as we continue on preaching about the rapture of the church. Well, friend, I'd like to ask you tonight a question, if I may. Do you remember when you were a little child, just a yonker, coming home in the afternoon from school, feeling very hungry, and how mama would have supper sometimes on the stove? And do you remember those times when your mama had spent some time baking in the afternoon, and like me, did you ever wonder why your mama would put you through such torture? I mean, the smell of them baked goods and cakes was some kind of good. And the aroma of those cakes and cookies was, just a little bit of heaven, I believe. And it only enriched the feeling that you were starving to death. And you'd ask your mama, "Mama, can I have a couple of cookies or a slice of cake?" And you know what your mama would say, "Not till after dinner." Have you ever wondered why every mama says, "Not till after dinner"? Well, sometimes I could be the model child and I could wait patiently. But there were other times when I could not be the model child, and I'd say, "But Mama, I'm starving. I can't wait that long. And if you make me wait that long, I will be dead because I'm starving to death." Do you really want them to write on my death certificate, "Starve to death"? You know, if I pestered my mama enough, sometimes she'd give in. And out would come that large knife with a thin blade, and mama would slice you off a little bit of that chocolate cake. And oh, when you bit into that, it was just like biting into a little slice of heaven. Now, when I think about that, as it pertains to the Christian life, do you realize that right now, if you know the Lord Jesus as your Savior, you and I, all of those who have repented of their sin and put their faith and trust in Him, we possess down here right now but a sample size with a whole lot more to come. In fact, are you aware that Jesus gave the first prophecy of the rapture of the church? You say, "Well, where's that?" Well, I'm glad you asked. In John chapter 14, beginning in verse 1, Jesus said, "Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also." Lord, tonight, as we bow in prayer, would you make your people and those listening tonight utterly aware of the certainty of your sure coming. Lord, you are not only a loving and living God, but you are a just, holy, and a righteous God. And Lord, you are our rock, but more importantly, our sin bearer, and you're our redeemer. You are our tabernacle, our high tower. You are our beginning and our end. You are the Alpha and the Omega. Lord, you are, amen. Tonight, Lord, we pray for those who do not possess salvation in Jesus Christ. We pray for the faith of those who do know Christ to be strengthened tonight. Lord, we pray that your word tonight would go forth like a holy fire. And we pray as it goes forth, Lord, that it would convict the hearts of those who are yet outside the body of Christ. And Lord, would you just touch them tonight? Would you bring one soul home to glory tonight through the preaching of your word? And Lord, we just ask this of you because we know you can do it. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. If you remember, I shared a couple times with you in the past few weeks that there is no prophecy left to be fulfilled for the rapture of the church to take place. Now, I want you to know something. There is prophecy left to be fulfilled before the second coming of Christ, but not for the rapture of the church. And these are two different events that the Holy Scriptures speak about. Yet the difference between the two is very simple. The purpose of the rapture is to take the church from earth to heaven. The purpose of the second coming is for Jesus Christ to come all the way to this earth to rule and reign in his millennial kingdom. That's the difference between the two events as taught in the Holy Scriptures. The rapture is to bring the bride of Christ, his church, to meet our groom, the Lord Jesus Christ, in the air. And the other is to bring Christ to Israel, his chosen people, here on earth to rule and reign for 1,000 years. That means the central theme of prophecy right now today for believers is the coming of Christ for his own in what is called the rapture, the catching up of the church. Did you know that every passage that teaches about the rapture in Scripture, no preceding event is ever mentioned? The only reference given is to the timing of the rapture. And the Holy Scriptures teach that the rapture must occur before the tribulation, that time when the wrath of God is poured out in judgment here on this earth. You see, the Bible teaches in 1 Thessalonians 1:10 to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, who delivers us from the wrath to come. And again, the Bible says, for God did not appoint us to wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. 1 Thessalonians 5:9-10. Well, friend, that being true means the imminent nature of the rapture not only confronts individuals with the challenge to receive Jesus Christ before it is too late, it also challenges us who know Jesus Christ to live with eternal values in view. You see, the rapture can occur at any moment, and believers' lives on earth will thus be cut short, and so we need to maximize our commitment to Jesus Christ. What do we mean by that? Simply this. We need to be doing all we can for the Lord in upright living and service to him and to others. Are you serving the Lord with gladness tonight? Are you serving your Lord at all tonight? You know, there are many churches just like this one where it's hard to find Christians to serve the Lord. And friend, the Bible says it ought not to be that way. Because there's a time coming, and it's coming right soon, when the church is going to be raptured. Are you living in a way that if your Lord was to come before I finish this message, God would be able to say to you, well done, thou good and faithful servant, enter into the joy of the Lord. Now friend, while many future prophetic events are of great importance, the rapture is perhaps the most important of all to a believer in Jesus Christ. Soon and very soon, we're going to see our King. And that got me to meditating upon three things God wants to share with us very quickly tonight. The first is the imminent return of Jesus Christ. You say, where's that found? Oh, I'm glad you asked, because Jesus said right here in John chapter 14, verses 2 and 3, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Now this, an imminent event, simply means this, is one that could occur at any moment. And again, as I've shared before, when a woman is pregnant, there are signs that come to tell us the birth is near. The signs pointing to the coming tribulation are already being played out in our world today. All around us, we have the signs of deception. We have the signs of disputes among nations. We have the signs of devastation with famines and pestilences. And we have the sign of deliverance into tribulation. All these things Jesus spoke to us about last week from Matthew 24. And though the signs of trouble are all around us today, the good news for God's child is this: we need not fear. We need not fear the troubles around us so long as the eyes of the Lord are upon us. Oh, if you're a child of God tonight, friend, do you realize God watches over his children? God watches over his children. His eyes are upon you all of the time. You see, God's word says, for God did not appoint us to wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we sleep or wake, we should live together with him. And what did Jesus say in John chapter 14? I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again to receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Do you realize that our salvation is nearer now than when we first believed? Every moment of every day, we are 1 second, 1 minute, 1 hour, 1 day closer to the coming of our Lord. The calling of the church to heaven in this dark hour of our world today is very near. And the Bible tells us about a man who got ready, and a man who was ready, and a man who stayed ready. And you don't have to read very far in the Bible to discover this man. You see, all you got to do is read Genesis chapter 5, verse 24. The man's name was Enoch. And this is what God had to say about this man named Enoch. God says, and Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. Genesis is the first book in God's holy word. It is the foundation for all of Holy Scripture. And in this book of foundation, God gave us a picture of the rapture. Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. When I think about that, I think about how it must have been for Enoch. He must have been a man who walked with God every day. Now, I like to walk, and so here's what I picture. I picture Enoch putting on his sneakers and God putting on his sneakers, and they went out and they got to walking. I don't know how many hours they might have walked, but perhaps it got near the end of the day, and perhaps God looked at Enoch and said, you know, Enoch, we're a lot closer to my house than yours. You come on home with me. Friend, that's the rapture. Enoch walked with God and was not, for God took him. The second thing God wants to share with us this morning is this: nothing is impossible for God. Let me mention several scriptures very clearly. For with God, nothing shall be impossible, Luke 1:37. Genesis 18:14, is anything too hard for the Lord? at the time appointed I will return unto thee according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son. Jeremiah 32:17. Ah, Lord God, behold, thou hast made the heaven and the earth by thy great power and stretched out arm, and there is nothing too hard for thee. Jeremiah 32:27. Behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me? But Jesus beheld him and said unto them, with men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. And Jesus, looking upon them, saith, with men it is impossible, but not with God. For with God all things are possible. Over and over and over again, the Holy Scriptures testify of one truth. All things are possible with God. Have you ever stopped to think about this? If all things are possible, what then would render the possible impossible? What is the one thing that prevents God from accomplishing all things possible in our lives? I can tell you what it is. It's unbelief. Do you realize that unbelief is a sin? God has said, and you choose not to believe what God has said, and in doing so, friend, you sin, and you sin a great sin. There is no greater sin than the sin of unbelief, because the sin of unbelief means you have chosen to reject the word of truth that all things are possible with God. Now, Jesus put a qualifier on it. The condition, if you will, when he said, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. If thou can believe, all things are possible. Well, let me ask you a question tonight. Do you believe that with God all things are possible? And if you say, yes, yes, I do, then we can believe in every precious promise contained in the Word of God, the Holy Scriptures. We can believe that the dead in Christ shall rise first, and then we who are alive and remain shall meet them in the air, and we shall meet with our Lord forever and ever. Friend, you need to know something tonight. You open the Bible and you look for the word rapture, you'll never find it. The Holy Scriptures clearly teach there will be a catching up of the church before the tribulation. We call this the rapture. And do you know why? Because nothing is impossible for God. Nothing is impossible. Well, there's a third thing that I want you to know tonight. In the times in which we're living today, when many have no fear of God, do you know what mankind's greatest need is today? It's to fear God. We need to fear Him. Jesus said, and I say unto you, my friends, be not afraid of them that kill the body and after that have no more that they can do. But I will forewarn you whom ye shall fear. Fear him which after he hath killed hath power to cast into hell. Yea, I say unto you, fear him. We need to fear God, not man. This is a good word that we ought to have put on the front of our eyes and established in our heart. For it's of a certainty that in this life we face many fears. But we're not to give in to our fears when they come to our health or our wealth. We're not to give in to fear of what may or may not come. We are to fear God and the things that God can do. Friend, do you fear God tonight? You see, in these times when Christians the world over are being martyred for their faith, it's important for us to remember what our Lord is teaching here. Do you realize that all that a man can do is kill the body? But a man cannot touch your spirit. A man cannot touch your soul. And every one of us, especially those of us who are seasoned with age, knows this truth. Our body, our flesh fails us more and more with each passing year. You see, in these bodies, none of us can live forever. So when these bodies of ours give out, then who shall we be? Will you be with the Lord? Have you repented of your sin and asked Jesus to be your Savior? Or have you bought into the world's way of dealing with God, just laughing, carrying on for fair, thinking that when you go down to hell, you're still going to party down there like you partied out here, all the while treading under your sinful feet the very grace of Almighty God? Friend, I'm asking you tonight, do you fear God? Do you understand that one day you're going to face the righteous judge who gave you life, and he's going to look at you and he's going to say, "What did you do with the life that I gave you?" What are you going to say? That you didn't believe he was there? That you didn't believe you'd ever be facing him? In a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, you're going to face him. The Bible says it's appointed unto man once to die and then the judgment. You say, why are we to fear God? Because God will judge your spirit and your soul. The return of Jesus Christ is imminent. Nothing is impossible for God. And the God who died on the cross for you is the same God who 3 days later rose from the grave, just as the Bible said he would. It is the same God who purchased your salvation by taking your sin upon himself and dying on Calvary's cross for the sins of all mankind, that any and all who would believe in him, any and all who would repent of their sin, might be saved and would be saved simply by putting their faith and trust in him. I don't know about you tonight, but I do believe what God says about hell. You see, Jesus taught that hell is a place where the fire never goes out. Can you imagine such a thing? It's a place of utter darkness, of weeping and gnashing of teeth. I can tell you this much, hell will be no party like many think it will be today. Friend, you are going to be alone. You are going to be in darkness. You are going to be burning in a place called hell. Hell is going to be exactly what it says it is. It is going to be hell, and you won't be there for a day or a minute. You will be there for eternity. And I don't know about you, but a friend, I'm going to tell you, that ought to be all the motivation you need to be start living today, to repent of your sin and put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. It ought to be all the motivation you need to be living as if the rapture could happen any second, because Jesus said it could. the very first prophecy concerning the rapture of the church, Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again. And I will receive you unto myself. Well, who's he going to receive unto himself? But those who have put their faith and their trust in him by repenting of their sin. Jesus said, likewise, if you do not repent, ye shall all perish. Don't think that this is some message to try to scare you. It's not. It is a message of Bible truth. Jesus Christ is coming again. He's coming for his own. And the dead in Christ will rise first, and we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the air and live together with our Lord. Soon and very soon, a trump's going to sound and a shout's going to come. And in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye, the church will be gone. Jesus Christ is coming again. Are you ready? Soon and very soon, the King is coming. Will you be ready when he returns? I'm going to tell you something else tonight. You've heard this message, and it's not by accident that you've heard it. But please understand this. If you choose to reject what God is saying to you tonight, you will be without excuse should you die and be in hell. God is calling to you tonight to give you the opportunity to repent and receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And if you want to do that tonight, simply bow your head and pray, Lord Jesus, forgive me of my sin. Lord, I am placing my faith and my trust in you right now at this very moment. Lord, thank you for dying for me. Thank you for saving me. In Jesus' name, amen. There are several ways to contact us on your screen right now. They've been there for a while. You contact us. You let us know of your decision to put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Friend, God loves you. And God doesn't want to pour out his wrath on you. He wants to save you. Father, we thank you tonight for the so great salvation we have in Jesus Christ our Lord. Thank you for loving us. In Jesus' name, amen.